What are those letters doing in the middle of the sky? This is the first thing I ever published with the help of my friends. It was Birth, published in New York in Greenwich Village in autumn 1958. Birth number one. This is what the title pages look like. Thou art perfect, that means thou art, you're sure then a ship has touched upon the deserts of Bohemia, that's Shakespeare. This was the Bohemianism issue, and some of the people who worked with me, Sylvia Taub was my co-editor. You see their names there. And here are some of the people who were in the issue. They later went on to great infamy, and this had, as you can see, a little Bohemian anthology. Well, it had notes to the theory of Bohemia. I'm going to read you some of these notes. Some of them are still hold up. Some of them are just awful. There are many roads to paradise. The Bohemian stands at the crossroads and stares. Candidate is young, Bohemia is old. Sometimes I capitalize Bohemianism, sometimes I do not. Sometimes it is important, sometimes it is not. The kings of Bohemia are kings whose subjects are kings. Between the idea and the reality falls the book dealer. I dreamt I dwelt in Bohemia. Ho Bohemia, I dreamed I woke up in Ho Bohemia. The phonies are calling the phonies, phonies. The reallys are really the reallys. Bohemia. There's not a very great distance between Bohemia and the Bowery. Art is the wall, but it is a movable wall. See Poe, Dean of Forster, etc., etc., etc. Marcel Duchamp, a greater bit of daring would have been to give up chess to paint. Joy. Contempt? Well, I'll tell you what contempt is later. They have ruined the village. But the village was always ruined. Anyone is permitted to abuse a village. Our only defenders are the realtors. Oh, how many years have I wasted in the village? Yes, but where else would you have wanted to waste them? Money, the ammunition of Philistia. Paint, the ammunition of Bohemia, sweat the battlefield. The result, painted sweaty money. Contempt, what is contempt? Contempt is Bohemian praise. Paris I have never seen, person I have never been. Dog I meet in old museums, lover that I bathe in dreams. Oh, Eden's pigs, oh, figgy scheme, oh, dirty world, oh, naked dream.
Satan worshippers like you guys get.
Well, hold on. Sorry, you can't complete that. We're not Satan worshippers.
We don't believe in him either.
Right. Go on.
Bye.
All right, but you guys going to Shanghai River, right?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I want to support that business because you guys believe in the devil.
We don't believe in the devil. We think he is just as made up as God.
What makes you think that we believe in the devil?
Well, you ain't Christian. Does that mean that you believe in the devil?
Well, that's not true.
Do you believe
Whoever told you that lied to you, ma'am.
My priest told me.
I'm sorry, your priest lied to you. Your priest
he
is
ain't
wrong.
He preaches the word of God.
Your preacher lied when he told you that we believe in Satan. Because we don't.
He said anybody that doesn't believe in God is Satan.
Well, then he's a liar. Because we don't.
He says
Maybe he's just very mistaken. But he's wrong, because we don't believe in Satan. He's just wrong.
Believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens? I know of no evidence that there's aliens.
I think they're devils if they are, because it don't say nothing about aliens in the Bible.
Okie dokie.
Okay, but we don't believe in aliens.
Do you believe in... What do you believe in?
All kinds of stuff.
I believe in people. I believe Jeff's sitting right here. I believe that this backdrop is real. Feels real.
Yeah, we believe in, like, obviously real stuff.
Yeah.
Do you worship each other?
No. Russell's not that great.
Well, yes, I am. But
I didn't mean to have to say that publicly, but
he shouldn't worship me. I'm trying to get
him into
that.
He's not that
great. He's rebuffed my advances so far.
So, do you think you guys are going to heaven? No, we don't
believe in it. We think when we're dead, our bodies will stop working, our brains will stop working, and we will stop being minds, because there's nothing going on in our bodies, and we'll just decompose. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Not
very pretty, but
hell.
That's what we think is going to happen.
Huh? You guys are going to hell, right? Because
we don't believe in that either.
Who tells you all this stuff? They need to actually, you know, if you want to know what atheists believe in, you're doing the right thing. Just ask us. No, we don't believe in that. We don't think there's any such thing. We think there's the physical universe, right? Which contains a bunch of stuff we don't know about, but we're pretty sure none of it is your God or your devil or heaven or hell.
What about your God?
We don't have one.
That's the problem, you guys sinners.
Okay, but you are free to believe in the devil and free to believe that we'll get all kinds of torment and punishment after we die, but you're not free to come on here and tell us that we believe that stuff, because we don't.
We believe better than you do. You guys believe and worship that your God is the devil.
Okay, well, now you're just getting insulting. Stop telling us what we believe. Ma'am, will tell you what we believe. We're happy to share that with you. Stop putting words into our mouth. You have no business telling us what we believe. I don't care if it's your preacher that told you that. He has no business lying about what we believe. That's just a fact. I mean, don't come on our show and try to put words in our mouth. We will be honest with you and tell you what we think.
Don't make me cry, man.
All right. Okay. Now you're being rude.
Don't cry. You don't need to cry about it. You're wrong. Yes.
You know, we're not like emotionally hurt that you did it. You're insulted because it's rude when you do that.
Right.
That's what it's all about. All right.
Okay. That was fun.
Of course, there's the whole we're going to hell thing, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you believe that anybody else on the planet deserves to be tortured forever, that makes you a bad person. As far as I'm concerned.
Me too.
Okay, I have a question for Russell, actually.
Yeah?
Russell, why do you eat babies?
We'll be right back.
I think that jazz very seldom in its true state is presented to the average public. They do have an idea of jazz which is not quite true. But the way I feel about it is that it is the only form of art that, in the way America has created and given to the world in this century or in the past few centuries, let's say. But I think it's more of a revival in a different form of what went on in classical music before. In other words, in the 17th century, there was a great deal of improvisation in classical music, as you know. And because of the fact that there were no electrical recording techniques or any way to permanize or to catch music and to record it, the music was written so that it could be permanized that way. And so slowly but surely, the writing of the music and the interpreters of the written music gave way to more and more interpretation and more syllable composition and less improvisation. And so finally, improvisation became a lost art in classical music, and we have only the composer and the interpreter. So the composer even very seldom improvised or didn't have to stay around until the late 1800s or the turn of the century. But jazz, in a way, has resurrected that process, which I call the jazz process. Now, jazz, as we tend to look at it, is a style. But I feel that jazz is not so much a style as a process of making music. It's the process of making music, making 1 minute music in 1 minute's time. Whereas when you compose, you can make 1 minute music and take 3 months to compose 1 minute music. Now, that's the only basic difference. Now, it so happens that because of historical circumstances and where jazz was born or whatever, you know, from Mississippi and American music and American culture and all, we think of jazz as a stylistic medium now, which in a way it is. But I think we must remember that in an absolute sense, jazz is more of a certain creative process of spontaneity than a style. Therefore, you might say that Chopin or Bach or Mozart or whoever improvised music, that is, was able to make music of the moment, was in a sense playing jazz in the lead style artist. And that's the way I feel about it in an absolute sense. I would like to say that one of the most thrilling things about jazz as a spontaneous creative process is, for instance, in recording it and later hearing oneself and being so surprised and at what has happened. And it might be interesting to note that any good teacher of composition, that is like serious classical music sort of composition, will always tell his students that the composition should sound as if it's improvised. It should have a spontaneous quality. So actually, the art of music is the art of speaking with this spontaneous quality.
Yeah. LPO, disciples, those who are trying to prepare themselves for entry into the evolutionary level above human, synonymous with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind, and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape, Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us. Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to survive or to pass is to leave with us. Now, that's pretty major statement. Pretty bold in terms of religion, in terms of anybody who tells us to think the most people who would consider themselves intelligent beings and say, oh, that's absurd. What's all this doomsday stuff? What's all this prophetic stuff? You know, intelligent human beings should realize that everything has their cycle. They have their season. They have their beginning. They have their end. They have cycles. We're not saying that planet Earth is coming to an end. We're saying that planet Earth is about to be refurbished, spaded under, and have another chance to serve as a garden for another human civilization. What? That might is a need? You'll have to decide that for yourself. I must admit that I am here again, that I am here saying exactly the same thing that I said then, trying to say it in today's language, trying to hope that for your sakes you can see what we have to offer you, for our Father offers human life. I'm not talking about human life. The planet is about to be recycled, and we see the planet as a stepping stone. Planet Earth, a stepping stone. The reason it's such an interesting time is not only because we're on the threshold of the end of this sensation, because it's about to be recycled, but because of where that finds us, where that finds you, where that finds those who would judge us, how we would speak of them and how they would speak of us. Now you say, you keep saying who you think you are. Well, it's up to you whether you believe that or not.
People used to think that the sun was at the center of the galaxy, something important about our position. It turns out to be wrong. We live in the outskirts. The globular clusters are centered around the marvelous middle of the Milky Way galaxy. And then it turned out that this isn't the only galaxy. We live in this one, but there are many others. And as this picture reminds us, there are many different kinds of galaxies, of which ours might be just this one. There are, in fact, 100 billion other galaxies, each of which contains something like 100 billion stars. Think of how many stars and planets and kinds of life there may be in this vast and awesome universe. As long as there have been humans, we have searched for our place in the cosmos. Where are we? Who are we? We find that we live on an insignificant planet of a humdrum star, lost in a galaxy tucked away in some forgotten corner of a universe in which there are far more galaxies than people. We make our world significant by the courage of our question and by the depth of our answer. We embarked on our journey to the stars with a question first framed in the childhood of our species, and in each generation asked anew with undiminished wonder, what are the stars? Exploration is in our nature. We began as wanderers, and we are wanderers still. We have lingered long enough on the shores of the cosmic ocean. We are ready at last to set sail for the stars.
Village boys, nothing. New Yorker, nothing. Sang out in both ways, nothing. Harry Smith and Allen Ginsberg, nothing, nothing, nothing. Poetry, nothing. my corn and crop fucking nothing. Leon of drugs feel lots of nothing. Starving of less than nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing
music is different here. The vibrations are different.
Not like Planet Ray. Planet Ray's sound of guns, anger, frustration. There was no one to talk to us on Planet Ray, to understand. We set up a colony for black people here. See what they can do on the planet all their own without any white people there. They could drink in the beauty of this planet. It would affect their vibrations for the better, of course. Another place in the universe, up under different stars. That would be where the altered destiny would come in. Equation-wise, the first thing to do is to consider time as officially ended. We work on the other side of time. We bring them here through either isotope teleportation, transmolecularization, or better still, teleport the whole planet here through music.
Walking along, playing a song. Won't be long, it's gonna be strong. Walking along, playing a song. Won't be long, it's gonna be strong. Thank you.
I want to be bad like a fat dude in a pair of tight pants going off into a place unknown.
Yeah. My teachings always have been eclectic, and I pick up elements from different traditions, different methods, and incorporate them all. And I don't care about whether people are going to ridicule me for being so off the wall sometimes when I talk about rituals, talk about some mythological characters who look very funny and weird. But they all have a great deal of profound meaning and impact on human consciousness. One thing that I have been doing consistently is the help from gods and goddesses from different traditions, whether they are from the Egyptian tradition or from Greek tradition or the Hindu traditions. They are all very powerful. The other day I saw, I heard from someone whom I have introduced to the worship of Sekhmet. Sekhmet is Kali in the Egyptian tradition. And she was able to establish a connection with Sekhmet herself by just doing giving her a ritual bath with and an abhishekam, which is sprinkling of milk and orange juice, etc., on the statue of Sekhmet. And she came alive, and it transformed his life. So the mythology is that we find in different traditions are not just superstitions, but have great value and practical use. The monkey god is a good example. You find the monkey god not only in India, although it is a predominant tradition in India. You find the tradition, the monkey god tradition in China, in Japan, and I was in Egypt, and in Egypt I found a statue of the monkey god too. I was in Memphis, and then I picked up a very rare piece of the monkey god. So to do these monkey gods are alive, or the monkeys themselves are monkey gods. I want you to look at something, some pictures that somebody sent to me. It's about a monkey that appeared while a religious discourse was going on by a Swami. He was talking about Rama and how he was helped by his monkey god. And while he was doing that, a monkey jumped and did things, the unbelievable things. And he went near him and then blessed him, picked up his microphone, and then went near the picture of Rama and was doing funny things. And I want everybody to reflect on the monkey, and is the monkey Hanuman then, the monkey god. That particular monkey, of course, has been Hanuman. So one thing that we have to understand, that not all the monkeys are Hanuman. But in this case it happened. And you can access his energy through the monkey, definitely. He belongs to this monkey race. And he has tremendous amount of power. and I know a person who talks to Hanuman, and his experience when he told me was, the monkey appears to him in person, but it is not a real monkey, but then an image of monkey who is alive and who talks to him, talks a language that you could not understand but knows only the meaning. But you cannot go and grab it, it is like a vision. But his eyes are open, but he cannot go and touch the monkey. The gods are the same way too. They don't have flesh and blood, and they are kind of like a smoke, a smoky figure, and you will be able to talk to them. And particularly this Hanuman, which is the monkey god, is tremendously powerful. And it's important that a proper knowledge of the monkey god is necessary in order to establish the connection with them. So I have given instructions to the Pillai Center priests in India that this is the mantra that you should use, and this is how we can bring maximum presence of Hanuman for those who are sponsoring rituals through Ashraveda, through the Pillai Center. So we are including the pictures of Hanuman appearing before this saint. And they are amazing. I want you to take advantage of the power of Hanuman to do impossible things. He is often called Asadhya Sadhava Swami, which means one who can do the impossibles. So we have created a ritual to Hanuman, especially for those who are facing a very difficult situation and unable to resolve the problem on a human level. At that point, Hanuman is very powerful. That's why I teach the worship of the archetypes, the gods and goddesses, and the rituals that go along with them. That is more powerful than simply sitting and meditating and having a deep spiritual experience. But then, if you want to get things to get done, then you have to go to these archetypes.
Take my breath away. again, let's count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Watch the screen and we will try to count how many dots go by. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10.